Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a proprietary process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. So join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's Iron, J-O-C.com. Along with Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. This is Talking.Golf. And Gary D'Amato needed some Iron Jock today because he had to sweat out a long drive home from Pennsylvania. He's decided not to go to the Foo Fighters concert down at the American Family Insurance Amphitheater. And we're going to talk some golf here on a Friday. Gary, welcome back to the Midwest.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, had a very nice trip out to Pittsburgh, played some great golf courses, and had a 10.5-hour ride home. I just got home. So I'm a little frazzled and a little tired, but always anxious to talk golf with you, Rob.
Well, and folks, if you haven't figured it out yet this summer, Gary D'Amato is quickly becoming our Regis Philbin, or I guess I should probably now kind of update that analogy, Ryan Seacrest, when it comes to who he plays golf with and where. Last week, you played golf with WSGA Ultimate intern Patrick Koenig, and you can read that story today on our website. You wrote about it. It was posted. It is going berserk and bonkers. Everyone wants to read about Patrick. And then this week, it was Oakmont Golf Club, famed Oakmont, historic Oakmont. Insert your adjective there. Gary, what would you call it after having the opportunity to play it?
Rob, I would call it one of the best golf experiences of my life. It is a fantastic, fantastic golf course. Harder than heck. Immaculately maintained. The clubhouse is just a museum. I mean, it just the trophies and the photos and all the old archive stuff that they have all over the clubhouse. And then, you know, we played with caddies. We walked the course. I had a wonderful host, a guy named John Lynch, who's a member there, and just had just an unbelievable time. And I almost aced the sixth hole at Oakmont, Rob. My ball finished a foot behind, dead behind the cup. It just rolled past the cup, must probably over the lip, and finished a foot behind the hole.
Oh, my.
Would that have been a story, huh?
Well, yeah. Well, and we should update our listeners. You still don't have one, do you, Gary D'Amato?
I do not. I've never had an ace. I've only seen one. All the golf I've played, all the tournaments I've covered, I've only seen one ace, and it was on a par three course. So some people would say that doesn't even count. So I almost had my first one at Oakmont. I could have died and gone to heaven, Rob.
Well, that is spectacular. Now, you're going to write about that too, aren't you, that experience?
Yes, yeah, because it turned into, I played three courses. We played a public course called Old Stonewall. It's hosted some USGA stuff, and it was designed by Dana Fry and Mike Hurdson, same guys who did Wild Rock, Erin Hills, and Troy Byrne. Really good course, lots of elevation up and down. That's a public course. And then our final day, we played Allegheny Country Club, designed by Donald Ross. It's in Sewickley, Pennsylvania, outside of Pittsburgh. Just a fantastic golf course. And we play with Jackie Bradley Jr., the Brewers outfielder. So, I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better 3 days, Rob.
how was Jackie?
You know, he took up golf 2 years ago, and he shot 84 on a very, very tough track. He was a couple over par with maybe 10 holes to go, and he had a couple doubles in there toward the end. But really good player. Obviously, hits the ball a mile. You know, he's got a home run swing transferred to golf. But he was a joy to play with, just a down-to-earth, regular guy. We had a caddy who was great, and it was just those 3 days, Rob. I don't know. It's going to take a long time, if ever, for me to top those.
Well, so you're saying then that the 3 days out east were better than Patrick Koenig? I mean, you know, everybody's jealous of Patrick, and I think maybe this week everybody's jealous of Gary D'Amato.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm jealous of Patrick. I mean, the guy has made quite a life for himself, not only as an intern with the WSGA, as a 41-year-old intern playing all this golf, 50 courses, but he's sort of, this isn't the first time he's had, you know, he's done something like this. He rented an RV a couple of years ago, or bought an RV, and, you know, turned it into like a, he called it a recreational golf vehicle, and went all over the country raising money for the first tee and played 400 and some courses in 365 days. The guy's played with Bill Murray. I mean, he's got a huge following on social media. So companies send him stuff and hopes that he'll write about them or give him a plug on his social media. The guy's got to figure it out, Rob.
Well, we're in the middle of What's Up. What's Up, powered by our Twitter handle, @wis.golflive. And if you've been on @wis.golflive, you know what's coming next. It's all the tournament activity that we've been able to write about the last week. And we go from one WSGA intern to another. Bobby Stricker, who kicked off the Ultimate internship earlier this summer, has kind of settled into her competitive schedule. And this week at the Badger Mutual Insurance Women's Amateur at Brown Deer Park Golf Course, she goes 3-for-3 in that event in winning it, rallying from 4 strokes down over the final 13 holes to edge Mandy Granato of Plainfield, Illinois, and Nebraska, Omaha by 2 shots. And if that name Granato sounds familiar, it should. Her dad, Rob, a former college hockey player at Colorado College and at the University of Wisconsin. And then, of course, her uncle, Tony, is the current head coach for the Badgers. And last but not least, Cammy Granato, the first woman to be inducted into the Women's College Hockey Hall of Fame. So it was a great showdown. Bobby Stricker told me that she hasn't seen ball striking from a college player as good as what she saw from Mandy. And Gary, she owns, Bobby Stricker literally owns Brown Deer Park Golf Course, a 68. And 1 month shy of going to the LPGA Tour qualifying school, I'd say her game is ready.
Yeah, it sure is, Rob. I watched her a couple times this summer. I watched her win the tournament at Merrill Hills, and she the women's amateur there. She played great, and I'll tell you what, she's gotten longer in recent years. You know, she's worked on her game very hard, and it shows. And I think she is. Maybe more dedicated to golf now than she was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's showing in her preparation and the way she attacks golf courses. And she's a great putter. I mean, so it's in the genes, Rob. Whatever Steve has, he's passed down to her that way.
The golf ball doesn't fall far from the tree when it falls on a putting green in the Stricker family. So that is for sure. And I'm kind of excited because although the LPGA Tour Q School is the 4 days right after the state opens. So I'll be coming back to help you over at Black Wolf Run in Pine Hills in Sheboygan, then hopping on a plane Thursday morning and coming back out here, and then hoping to get over to see Bobby on Saturday over at in Rancho Mirage, California, where they've had this thing every year that I've been out here. And Gary, it, without question, is the hottest golf tournament I cover ever. You're talking 100, you know, degrees to 105, sometimes 110. They play in carts. You know, she's probably going to enter this as an amateur so she can maintain amateur standing and play kind of the same schedule next year. If, you know, if she posts a 54-hole score, she gets conditional status on the Symmetra Tour. So there's a lot of, you know, upside just to going through the process. And there's really no rush for Bobby Stricker. She's waited a lifetime to start playing competitive golf. And her ceiling is probably better than any others. As I told her on a message, a Twitter message, you know, unlike 99% of the women that will be in that tournament, and they usually draw 300 to 400 over three courses. You know, she hasn't played under the stress of competitive golf all her life. This is new to her. And likewise, then she doesn't have the, you know, really expectations that these other gals will have. And I think it's a perfect setup for her.
Yeah, I agree with you, Rob. What if the scenario was that she plays just fantastic and earns some real status, some full-time status? What does she do then?
Well, that's a good question, because they've kind of tweaked the format. You know, it used to be a straight out Q school that goes from stage one to stage two, and then the final stage where they combine all the symmetric tour golfers that didn't keep their card and the LPGA tour golfers that didn't keep their card. Now they go from, I think it's stage one to stage two, and then onto the LPGA Q series, which is a 2-week thing unto its own. And it's a long road. So I'm not sure she's going to get to that, but you hit the nail on the head when you said she's attacking golf courses. I mean, we've seen with Casey Danielson and what she's done this year on the Symmetra Tour, that's what you have to do. You have to make a lot of birdies. You've got to make some eagles. You've got to avoid the big number. You can afford to make some bogeys if you're making that many birdies around like she did at Brown Deer. And, it's quite possible, but it's a long, long road. And I think if she's able to kind of focus on each round, each step of the process, she could very well get there this year.
Am I right? She made 5 birdies and 2 eagles in that final round?
She did. Yeah. And
taking it deep, you know,
it is. And when she fell 4 behind, then she rattled off the 3 in a row. Granato had a bogey in there, so that erased the 4-shot deficit at the turn. She eagles 10, and then Mandy goes on a birdie run over, I think it was 12, 13, and 14. And I think Bobby, big-footed her birdie on 13 with that her second eagle, and then both of them birdie the par 3 after that. And then it becomes a match play and almost situation, and Bobby survives. Again, that Brown Deer Women's Amateur, the Badger Mutual Women's Amateur, it's gone by both names over its lifetime, has really become a great event late in the season for not only the women who put it on and raise money for great causes in the Milwaukee area, and we can't understate that enough, but a lot of the college kids and some of the high school kids who find time to be able to come in and play it, because it's just a good event that is, whose field just gets better and better every year. So exciting stuff again with Bobby Stricker and Mandy Granato. And that was Tuesday and then Wednesday we get a breakout win by Nora Roberts of Racine. She's a class of 2023 golfer who on the final day of the Wisconsin Junior Girls Championship over at Hartford, a match play event, knocks off UW Green Bay recruit Ellie Frisch of Middleton and Hannah Dunk of Milton to win that event. That was her first multi-day tournament victory. And then on Thursday, Michael Addy of Sussex holds off Sebastian Kaysen of Elm Grove to win the 17 and 18-year-old age division of Wisconsin Junior Masters. Hogan Miller wins the 16 and under title, but Sebastian Kaysen's been red hot. We'll talk more about him in a minute on our What's Next segment. And in between all that, Gary, I thought one of the funnest stories that I had a chance to write all week was we weren't sure what to make of the Wisconsin Par 3 Championship. And then all of a sudden we look at I look at Facebook late in the day, I think it was on Wednesday when it was held, and Ryan Quinn, who came up from Bloomington, Illinois to play in it, wins it with a birdie on the 17th hole, which is at the Sandbox at Sand Valley, is the last hole, and he wins by one shot over Wesley Schwartz of Kaukauna. That's his first WSGA championship, Gary, since he won the second of back-to-back state amateurs back in 2002. And of course, you probably covered that one. He's the last guy and the only guy to win back-to-back state ams since they went to the stroke play format in 71. And here he is all these years later winning the par 3 contest of all tournaments.
Well, he's a great guy. And yeah, I covered both of those state ams that he won. I think you did too, if I remember right. And you were at the State Journal then. I was at the Journal Sentinel. And what I remember about Ryan is, playing in unlaced tennis shoes and that's hitting right. Those low bullets. And man, could that guy putt. He was a great putter and obviously still is. To win a par 3 tournament, you have to make putts. You have to make putts to win any tournament. But I think the last quote in your story by him was that no one should be surprised that I made a lot of important putts, because that's what he's always done.
That's right. None of his former competitors should be surprised one bit. He's still got the hot putter. And and to see that smiling face, and you know, he only plays in the team championship with a fellow from Edgerton every year. And you know, I did mention to him, Gary, that you know, this karma up there at Sand Valley, I mentioned to him where the state am next year is. It's at the big course at Sand Valley. So maybe, just maybe, we had 9 former champions in the field this year. It would never hurt to see Ryan Quinn come back and play in the 72-hole deal. And, you know, as the reigning par 3 champion, I think it would only be fitting if he comes back next year up at Sand Valley.
I hope he does. I've talked to him a couple times about that too, Rob. And he says, you know, I'll think about it. Maybe. I'm leaning toward doing it. And then he doesn't show up at the State Am. I hope he does. He'd add a lot to the field, and he can still play. He jokingly says that I saw the other quote, that Ryan Quinn is long gone, but I'm not so sure about that, Rob. I think he can still play.
No, and we're Facebook friends, and I know that if you look at his pictures, he says that he comes up a lot to do some, you know, some river activities up in Wisconsin. You know, he's originally from Galesville, and so he knows what summer's like here in the Badger State. But, you know, he's also at, you know, with his family at the, you know, eating at the A&W and just doing the Wisconsin stuff that, you know, when you have a young family, you know, you like to do that kind of stuff. So I get where he's at, but boy, if any year, it would be next year. So we've planted the seed. The last thing on our What's Up segment here for today on Talking.Golf, it happened today. Austin Gaugert wins the WPGA Member Match Play Championship at the Legend at Merrill Hills. He knocks off Joe Leonard, who is the head professional at the Oaks and at Kestrel Ridge in Sun Prairie, I'm sorry, Cottage Grove and Columbus, respectively, 2 up. And it kind of weird, you know, we'll talk a little bit later in our Ryder Cup report about the Olympic golf and, you know, a couple of guys who used to be in the bags of Sepp Straka, John Turcotte, and then Alex Noren, Austin Gaugert, no longer on those bags. Those guys playing quite well over in Tokyo. But not sure what John Turcotte's up to, but clearly Austin Gaugert still has a lot of game. And to knock off the guys that he knocked off on the way to winning this season-long competition says a lot about where he's at still with his game.
Yeah, you know, in recent years, Rob, I thought about him more as a caddy than a player. And that's obviously no reflection on his talent, because he has been a really, really fine player for a long time. But whenever I've seen him in the last 4 or 5 or 6 years, it's been with a bag over his shoulder and he's helping someone else. It's fun to see him step out and win an important tournament like this. And you're right, he went through a really good field and had some close matches in the end and prevailed. So hats off to Austin.
So that is What's Up for this week here on Talking.Golf. What's Up, powered by our Twitter handle, @wis.golf live. That's the one where you can go to see all the results as they're posted live to Wisconsin.golf. And we had a lot this week. We'll have a lot through the weekend, and we'll talk more about that in a second. Talking.golf, of course, sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. As the summer heats up, Iron Jock is that advanced performance gear that you need on your body, because it infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a proprietary process called silver ion technology. Long story short, that sweat that you have with other shirts, it's not going to be a factor. And it does that. It kills all the bacteria and fungus that is caused when you sweat. And it does that for the lifetime of the gear. Want to learn more? Go to ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. Time now for What's Next, powered by our Instagram page @wis.golf. Our FBI specialist, finest, bestest Instagrammer, Megan Augustine. Busy, busy, busy again this week. And Gary, I think Patrick Koenig sent the Instagram page soaring through the roof, but Bobby Stricker's win was huge. The two junior events this week were huge. And then honestly, Ryan Quinn's victory at the par 3 thing even moved the needle on Instagram. So be going to that Instagram page, because it's only going to get better next week, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But a couple of events between what happened this week and what's going to happen next week, ongoing this weekend. And topping the list of what's next this week, it's the U.S. Senior Women's Open. being contested this week out at Brooklawn Country Club in Fairfield, Connecticut, and some great stuff by the Wisconsin contingent. Five players deep this year. Becky Iverson with a 71 today in the second round, one under par. She moves to a tie for 15th place at three over par. Sue Ginter, the former LPGA Tour golfer from Appleton, she starts out 73, 75. She's tied for 20th. And Carolyn Barnett Howe, the very popular teaching professional out of the Fox Valley, she shoots 76 today, and that's good enough to get her into the weekend, it looks like. She is currently T61. And actually, no, the cut comes at the top 50 in ties. I say that, and I scroll down, and it looks like it's going to be at 9 over, so she's going to miss by 2. Everybody chasing Annika Sorenstam, who opens up 67-69 and leads fellow Swede Liselotte Neumann by 3 shots. But even though Carolyn didn't make it, that's quite a run by her. And but Becky Iverson and Sue Ginter, who both spent time on the LPGA Tour, enjoying themselves this week, teeing it up again with their contemporaries out east.
Yeah, that's pretty cool for Wisconsin to have, five women with state ties in that field. Says a lot about senior women's golf in our state. And Rob, I was very excited. Carol Semple Thompson, a great player, great amateur for many, many years, is a member at Allegheny Country Club. And when I was going to play there, they were telling me that she's there every day and she'd be happy to meet with me and talk with me. I was very excited to meet her. And then we find out that she was in the field for the Women's Senior Open. So I didn't get to meet Carol. It's great to see that we've got, it looks like two of our state players are going to make the cut.
Two of our state players make the cuts. So Becky Iverson and Sue Ginter very much still in the thick of things as everybody chases Annika Sorenstam. And Carolyn Barnett Howe misses by just a couple. Char Carson, who is a teaching professional with connections to Paddock Lake down there, just west of Racine and Kenosha. And she is 82-82 in a tie for 98th place. And Sid Wells, the great amateur out of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, 84-82. She's been battling a bad back quite a bit this season, among other things. And she is T107, but great to see Sid playing again. And one of the final storylines that we need to talk about, Gary, on this U.S. Senior Women's Open is a woman who is tied for 90th at 17 over par. She shot or beat her age both days, 82-79. It's 82-year-old Joanne Carner, the oldest woman ever to play in a USGA championship. And she won't make the cut, but to shoot your age twice in a USGA event, we all want to be Joanne Carner when we grow up and do that.
Oh, that is so cool. I didn't know that, Rob. I traveled all day today and hadn't had a chance to look at the scores before we jumped on this podcast, but that is really cool. You love that kind of longevity and someone who still has the passion and the commitment to go out and play like that at that age, at any age. That's a cool story.
So that's one of the things that'll be going on through the weekend. The other is the Cobank Colorado Open, where today a couple of Wisconsin guys had themselves a day. River Falls Neil Johnson shoots a 66 and Stoughton Sam Anderson a 68. They move into the top 25 out there at, I believe it's called Green Valley Ranch, is where they're playing this out in Denver. And they are currently tied for 33rd. I can go to the tee times, see if they, if by chance both Wisconsin guys are going to play in the same group. And this is the beauty. Oh, they're going to miss by one. They have the Neil Johnson going off 10 and Sam Anderson going off of one at the break in the tee times. They're in the middle of the pack, and they are all chasing Drew Love, who is loving life at the Colorado Open, the son of Davis Love, 64-66, and he leads by one at 12 under par. So Sam Anderson, Neil Johnson, just 8 shots back. Kaylor Steeger, who got off to a great start yesterday, 3 under par at the turn, really hit the a bumpy road after that, 73-80. He'll miss the cut at 11 over par. One other state open being played this week is down at Iowa, at Riverside, Iowa, Blue Top Ridge, where Zach Burry of Appleton, whose dad is a club pro in that area, he shot a 7-under-65. He trails a golfer named Brian Bullington of Frankfort, Illinois by three shots. George Kneiser of Oconomowoc, Ryan Isaacson of Eau Claire, both shoot 73s, and they are currently tied for 34th. One of the many, Gary, state opens, the one out in Colorado with a $100,000 first prize, and I think the one in Iowa with $25,000 up for the winner. It's why these guys chase these things all the time, and you can really, you know, make your living for the next year if you're able to win one of these and be able to afford some of these Monday qualifiers and the things that the guys do, the tour qualifiers at the end of the year for the Corn Ferry Tour and the Canadian Tour, just by winning one of these events. And a couple of these guys not too far off as they do it. Neil Johnson did it in 2016 and played a lot of qualifiers the next year. It really makes it a comfortable way to earn a living if you can somehow break through and win the lottery and get one of these.
Yeah, $100,000 that's serious coin, Rob. And that, you know, that probably covers expenses plus for a year for those guys. I would imagine expenses now for a guy who plays a lot of golf and crisscrosses the country and plays a lot of Monday qualifiers, you know, you're probably talking 50 to 60 grand in expenses in a year. I don't think that's one of the things that people don't realize about all these young men and women chasing their dream on these on mini tours and smaller tours, state opens, is the outlay of expense. A lot of them have some corporate, some sponsors at maybe their home club who help them out with expenses, but there's a lot of pressure on these guys and gals to make some money, to make ends meet. So $100,000, that's a serious first prize.
Yeah, and anyone who hasn't priced that out, try booking a hotel reservation. I mean, the days of the $30 hotel room for a night are gone. And if you can find one, you pretty much need to make sure you bring your own lock and key. And the same with rental cars. So you're right. So we'll continue to follow the Wisconsin contingent in those two state opens. And that takes us to Monday when it kicks off another week of some great golf. And in addition to a whole bunch of state open qualifying going on across the state as we get nearer and nearer to the big event in a couple of weeks at Black Wolf Run and Pine Hills in the Sheboygan area, the Wisconsin Junior Boys Championship at Reedsburg Country Club tees off Monday. The 54-hole event runs through Wednesday. Gary, the last six winners of this event should say something about how tough it is to win it. Cameron Huss, Bennett Swavely, Pearson Hunt, Hunter Eichhorn, Brady Sarauer, and Thomas Longbella. It's Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Marquette, UW Green Bay, and Minnesota again, all represented in those last six winners. And it's just one of those events put on by the WSGA that kind of is a maybe a sneak preview of what we can expect, as we saw at the state amateur this year with you know, guys like Bennett Swavely and Hunter Eichhorn being in the mix, Cameron Huss all chasing Pearson Hunt. You know, it's if you're going to do well at the state amateur level, you pretty much have to do well at the state junior level.
It's a big tournament and a big, you know, a big trophy with a lot of big names on it. When you look at the past and the young men who have won this tournament over the years, Rob, it's an old tournament. I mean, it's been around for over 100 years, right?
Absolutely. And
yeah.
And again,
it's got a great history.
A lot of the tour players who have gone on to great things have won that before they've won state amateurs. You know, it's just and a lot of guys who, you know, some guys don't go on to great careers. Like Brad Nelson, a guy who I covered early in my career out of Middleton High School, Blackhawk Country Club, you know, won it, I believe, back-to-back years back in the late 80s, early 90s. And, you know, is kind of, you know, just living the normal life now, not chasing, you know, not coaching, not, you know, doing anything at the tour level, but, you know, he has that. And then another guy, Ted Smith, who won it out of Clintonville Riverside, his son now playing at the University of Wisconsin and is playing in a lot of these, you know, WSGA events. And so it's kind of neat to see, you know, that legacy. And so, yeah, it's going to be a great field in addition to so we've got the top three golfers in the point standings on the WPGA are all entered. Sebastian Kiesen, who was the runner-up at the Junior Masters, points. He leads the point standings. And then Tyson Sparks out of Muskego who is now being kind of virtual schooled and spending the school year out in Las Vegas working on his game, and Mason Schmidtke out of Sheboygan, who's really had himself a summer. But also, and they're probably their, one of the last go-rounds in this event, Ty Kretz and Jacob Beckman, who just got back from the the USGA Junior Boys Championship, where they missed the cut, and Sebastian Kaysen, who played well at the National PGA Junior, and Bryson Mercier of the Upper Peninsula, also in the field. So a great field, and again, that's stroke play, and it's Monday through Wednesday at Reedsburg Country Club. Also next week, the Sherry Steinhauer, a girls-only event at Blackhawk Country Club in Madison. College golfers joining the high schoolers for the first time to make it a 103-golfer field. Gary, I think the one thing is you and I look back over, you know, the last 5 or 6 years of covering golf in Wisconsin, the number of girls that have gotten involved in the competitive end of the game continues to grow. And the Sherry Steinhauer was started about 10 years ago. It started as an 18-hole event out at Bishop Bay. Derek Schnarr at Blackhawk Country Club kind of took it over. And, you know, it's alternated. Some years it's been both rounds at Blackhawk, and then other years one round at Blackhawk, one round at Pleasant View. And I'm not sure if they're doing the combo this year. I can look that up. But really is kind of, you know, launched a lot of careers. And it will be Monday at Blackhawk, Tuesday at Pleasant View. And Sherry Steinhauer has really gotten behind it. You know, it's not just one of these that carries the name just as an honor to her. She'll, you know, come to the event and answer questions, talk about her career, talk about her transition now from golf to pickleball. And, you know, again, it's really turned out to be a big event. And, you know, for college coaches that I've talked to this week, Gary, they've been picking my brain because it's one of their last opportunities to get out and recruit before their season starts here in a few weeks. And so you'll see some of the college coaches at the Sherry one day, and the WSJ Junior, the other, those that are, you know, coaching both men and women. So it's a busy week for junior golf. I know you'll be up at Reedsburg Country Club, and the fast greens at Reedsburg are what usually set that course apart. And it should be a great week up, you know, hopefully if the weather allows, you know, for these two events to get in and we get nearer to the end of summer.
Rob, when do we slow down? That's my question. We've been going at it, especially you, the last couple of weeks. For it seems like months on end now. I know it's only been probably 7 or 8 weeks, but wow, it seems like there are more things to cover and better players to cover every single year.
And that's a tip of the hat to the WPGA, the WSGA for you know, providing these opportunities to the club pros around Wisconsin who are teaching these kids how to play at a high level. And I guess, you know, as winded as you and I might be writing about this stuff, let's use Sebastian Kaysen, who you'll see up at Reedsburg Country Club, as an example. When I was texting back and forth with him after his runner-up finish at the Junior Masters to Michael Addy, you know, he said, you know, made the comment that he's mentally and physically exhausted. 2 weeks ago, a four-round tournament in Kentucky at the National PGA Junior. He plays in the Wisconsin State Amateur on his home course at Westmore and makes the cut. So there's four more rounds. And then four rounds, well, it was more than four rounds. It was, you know, close to 120 holes of golf when you talk about two rounds of medal play qualifying, and then I believe it was five rounds of match play. And his matches went a little bit deeper than most. And so he played a lot. You know, I think the best thing, the only guy that I've written about this week, Gary, who's got the balance down, is Michael Addy. He hasn't played a ton. He's played a couple of hurricane events since the end of the high school season. This was his first biggie, and then he'll play next week up at Reedsburg. But you know what he's done in addition to playing a lot of, you know, golf here in the last week? He's gone fishing with some buddies that he played golf with in the spring at the high school season. I love kids who aren't afraid to be kids. And Michael Addy clearly was able to go clear his head and enjoy some good fishing in addition to playing some great golf here. And, you know, you do what you have to do to be able to handle it all. And sometimes fishing isn't a bad outlet to just kind of get away from the golf course.
I, Rob, you raised a very important point in that some of these, you know, young golfers, the girls and the boys who are chasing their dream, who are chasing college scholarships, who are chasing tournaments, who are trying to get into national stuff. It can be overwhelming when you're 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, and you have to have some balance in your life. And so it's good that, you know, I love to hear that you got, you know, got away and did some fishing. You can only practice so much before you go crazy. And you certainly don't want to see a 16 or 17 year old young man or woman, you know, burn out. So it's great that, you know, that they have other things to do and that they can have some balance in their life besides just playing competitive golf.
Absolutely. And especially as the, you know, the cloud of college recruiting, you know, hangs over all these kids that want to play at the next level. There's a lot of pressure on them. You know, I look for a lot in how they play, how they attack, you know, the game of golf, but I also look for the smiles on their faces. If you aren't having fun, get the heck out, get away from it for a while. I think as we talk about the Olympics and Simone Biles the platform she used this week to kind of tell us a lot about mental health and you know, how it impacted her and her decision to step away from, you know, one of the most important competitions of her life and maybe one of her final opportunities to compete in gymnastics at the Olympics. You know, I don't think we can underscore that enough as we talk about junior golf, Gary, and we talked a little bit about it last week as it related to the pressure on these kids, seeing their contemporaries, you know, do some pretty extreme things in terms of going away from home during their high school years to these academies and whatnot to be able to play, you know, year round and to try to get noticed. And tell you what, you have fun, you play well, and you do it on your terms, you're going to get noticed. You're going to go somewhere where we've got so many great college programs at the Division I, Division III levels in Wisconsin, Division II levels, NAIA, junior colleges around the Midwest. You're going to get noticed. And you hit on a great point, and I think it's very, you know, near and dear to both of us as parents. And, you know, if our kids aren't having fun, you know, they should be doing something else. And I hope you see a lot of smiles next week up at Reedsburg Country Club for that junior boys. And I know the Sherry Steinhauer is always a fun time. And they've got some great pairings too, with the college kids going out ahead of the high school kids and that thing. So hopefully we see a lot of smiles as we go ahead. That is what's next here on Talking.Golf. What's next, powered by our Instagram page at Wis.Golf. Go to Instagram, check things out. I tell you, your buddy Patrick Koenig lighting up Instagram here is Megan Augustine, posted the picture that you took of Patrick that's on the top of our website. And you can't take a bad picture of Patrick. He's animated, and that's what I like about him. And so check him out here on Instagram. Gary, we wrap it up this week with the Ryder Cup report, and the Olympic golf has been fun because it's a prime time event being overseas. And as we started recording our podcast here late on Friday, the league golfers hadn't gone out yet. Xander Schauffele with a 63 yesterday moves into a sole possession of the lead after two rounds at 11 under par by one over Mexico's Carlos Ortiz. Hideki Matsuyama is at 9 under, and then Sepp Straka with his brother now, Sam, on the bag, twin brother, leads the group at 8 under. That includes Milton Pereira, no relation to Mike, and Alex Noren. So what's your take on this Olympic golf? I've got opinions about whether it's a good format or not. I think it could be better. And I just, the competition is the competition. But there's a lot of people critical of it trying to, you know, be another major. And I'd like to see him kind of go down another road as they in future Olympics.
Yeah, it's not another major. It's never going to be another major. But on the other hand, a gold medal or a medal of any color is certainly a feather in any golfer's cap who accomplished that. I think if you talk to the people who won the medals in Rio when golf was reintroduced to the Olympics back in 2016, would tell you that they were a little bit overwhelmed. I don't think they expected it to be as big as it was. It's a big deal to win a medal in the Olympics. It's not the same as winning the Masters or the U.S. Women's Open or a tournament like that. It's its own entity, and it shouldn't be compared to the majors. And you're right. The format needs some tweaking, and I'm always a little disappointed that the field isn't a little stronger. but it is what it is. And I guess you can only go out and beat the people that you're, that are team, you know, that are in the tournament. So we'll see how this unfolds the rest of the way.
Because every country is represented, Gary, and because we're in the Ryder Cup year and we know what it's like when, you know, it's the U.S. against, you know, Great Britain, I'd like to see, and especially since in this event, Great Britain, you know, is broken up into a bunch of different entities, I'd like to see it be a team competition. I'd like it to, I'd like there to be, you know, a five count four type of format, kind of like the college golf. You know, if that's successful and under a stroke play format, you could almost go to the NCAA, you know, championship method where the top four teams after, after 72 holes of stroke play or 54 holes of stroke play, then get to play it off in match play for the medals. I think that would be good. You could have an individual champion after 54 holes, bronze, silver, and gold, and have that ceremony, and then have another one for the team a couple days later. I think that would be a way to, you know, kind of sweeten the pot, so to speak. But it really is hard for me to kind of get too hyped up over a leaderboard that has so many names that, I mean, you and I cover a lot of golf. You and I look at a lot of golf leaderboards. You've covered a lot of majors, Gary D'Amato, and there's a, you know, half the field has never played in a major championship. And this is supposed to be a big event that way. To me, it just kind of, it's lacking that way. I think a team component to it might spice it up just a little bit.
You know, people have talked about why don't they do a team competition, and other people have raised this point, and it's a valid point. I think the Olympics, I think the format needs to be something different than just a stroke play tournament. And I think you're right. A team aspect, a mixed team aspect with men and women representing their countries would, I think, would spice it up quite a bit. I think you're right about that, Rob. The format and the field both need to be looked at. How the qualification process. And the other thing is the, you know, the top players in the world, if it's truly going to be, you know, if it's going to raise to the elevation and people are talking about it comparing to a major, the field has to be a lot stronger. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Well, on a positive note, it means that the one true team competition for 2021 remains kind of the thing that we're all anticipating. That's the Ryder Cup coming up at the end of September. And again, not a lot of movement to top the point standings, but with a guy like Xander Schauffele, you know, wearing the red and white, leading this Olympic competition, I got to think that brings a smile to Steve Stricker's face.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We're getting down to the nitty gritty here, Rob. There's not that many weeks left in the season. And before we know it, you know, Steve and Padre Harrington will be making their captain selections and off we go. You know, less than 2 months now out from the Ryder Cup. All this waiting we've done and all the pontificating and all the talking about the team and how it's going to shape up. We're now just weeks away from having some of those questions answered.
And I won't bring up all the trending we're seeing as it relates to COVID. We've already lost the Junior Ryder Cup. We're just going to kind of knock on a lot of wood and hope that we're able to keep things on the path that we've been on to a full and robust Ryder Cup at Whistling Straits. I think that the Olympics kind of gets us excited. You get to see Rory play without a hat, and you get to see guys like Xander Schauffele represent their country and they'll be doing it again here in just 2 months' time. Gary, appreciate the time tonight. Welcome back, my friend. Get some rest and get ready for another big week next week.
Yeah, looking forward to Reedsburg, Rob. It's going to be a lot of fun.
For Gary D'Amato, I'm Rob Hernandez. That has been Talking.Golf, sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a proprietary process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does it for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.